Before we get to today's episode, I have to tell you something. Simple Morning List is here. This was just a dream of mine to create this morning companion journal just a couple of months ago, and now it is something that you can hold in your hands, that you can use to start your day intentionally. So Simple Morning List is a morning companion journal, and it includes a guide to creating 5 lists each morning. It really takes the pressure off of morning journaling and a morning routine because it sets it up for you each morning. The lists include surrender lists, gratitude lists, purpose statement, affirmations, and a hyper-focused to-do list. It also includes an introduction that takes you through all of these lists to help you understand why you're making them. It includes 12 weeks of space for these lists, and it also includes an extra journaling page each day that you can use for whatever you need it for, to-do lists or extra journaling, writing out prayers, whatever it is you want to use that space for. Along with that, you'll get 12 weekly challenges and a short essay to go along with those weekly challenges to just encourage you in your journey of living more intentionally and honestly just opening your eyes to the good around you and starting your day in a positive way. There are already women all over the world making these lists each morning, which is incredible to me, and I can't wait for you to get your hands on this. Just head over to simplemorninglists.com to find out more about it and to start making your lists. And here's today's episode of Minimalish. Welcome to Minimalish, a podcast about minimalism, sort of. I'm your host, Desiree, and I strongly believe that minimalism isn't meant to be an identity, a standard to live up to, a set of rules, or anything along those lines, but rather just a tool to help us make room for the things that matter in our lives. And it looks different for everyone. Each week, you'll find me here having conversations about living with less realistically and the things that matter, like motherhood and family, intentional living, mindset, loving our people, and everything in between. More than anything, it's my goal to remind you, and often myself too, that you're worthy of creating a life filled up with what matters to you, and that you're already enough just as you are. I'm so glad you're here, friend. Here's today's episode. Hi, friend. Welcome back to Minimalish. So today's conversation with my friend Blake, she's the host of the Crappy Christian Podcast. Blake and I are talking today on a timely topic, which is body image. And I think this topic is timely for any time of the year. But if you're listening to it when it comes out, then the holidays are around the corner, which means if we don't feel great in our own skin, we might encounter family members that are going to worsen that by saying something that they shouldn't. And so body image is important, I think, in this season, but it's even more important to talk about in the upcoming season, which is around the corner, which is that new year, new me, whatever you want to call it, season that's all about resolutions. And that's all about trying to lose the next 5 pounds or the last 5 pounds or eat a certain way or get our lives in order, which often to us can mean get our body back, right? Get our body back to how it was when we thought it was the best that it was, or get our body back to that pre-baby body. And here's the thing. The fitness industry is booming right now, and I don't want to point fingers at it. As a whole, it is a good and important thing to take care of our bodies. It is a good thing to pursue health. It is a very good thing to take care of ourselves with what we are putting into our bodies. And I believe that this is important. I believe it should be a priority, and I can't tell you how to do that correctly or how to do it in the way that's best for your body. But what's most important in today's conversation is opening up this conversation about the standards of beauty, the unrealistic standards of beauty, and what that does to us. We are sharing personal stories and the things that trigger us personally. And I hope that it will spur you on to do the same through some self-reflection and deciding what your story is with this and what your triggers are. And while pursuing health is super important, the fitness industry right now also carries a lot of shame with it and a lot of comparison, a lot of really harmful things. I know it's come a long way even from a couple of years ago, but I personally don't see it as much, so I can't say how far it's come because I've unfollowed a lot of the accounts that are like that. At one point, I was following them though, and at one point, I did have this perfect standard of what I should look like, what a beautiful person should look like, what a strong person should look like in my head. And I want to ask you, do you have that image in your head, or have you in the past? And I want to challenge you to let go of that today. It's probably not going to happen in one day. It's something that is going to happen repeatedly. It's something that you're going to have to come back to, and you're going to have to let go of, and you're going to have to surrender in your life over and over again until you start to see the image of strength and the image of beauty as yourself and as your friends and as the million different body types there are out there. And maybe tangibly start to define beauty and strength as something other than outside appearance. So today's episode truly is a conversation. It's a back and forth conversation on this, and Blake shares about the work that she's done in her own life and what has worked for her to really rewrite her story that she tells herself about herself and to really find a more positive view of herself and of her body, and to take care of her body and to love her body well. And I just want this episode to give you some resources to do that, but mostly to just encourage you to do that in your own life and to dig and find what that looks like for you. I really do think it's going to encourage you, and I hope that you enjoy this one, friend. So let's jump right in to my conversation with Blake. Hey, Blake, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm so excited to get to chat with you. And before we get started, I would love it if you would tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do and like what you care about.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited. I am Blake. I have my own podcast, which is Confessions of a Crappy Christian. And then I'm also a brand and website designer over at Magnolia Inc. And I am Louisiana born and bred, live here with my husband and two little girls, and am just kind of, figuring it out, right? Figuring out what balancing being a mom and a wife, but having passions and giftings that I feel called to utilize, what that all looks like. And balance is a myth. I'm an Enneagram enthusiast. I'm very into the Enneagram, and I talk about it a lot in my space and on my podcast. I feel like that sums me up.
I love it. I've really enjoyed following along with you. And when I discovered your podcast, the name of it, I was like, this is amazing. it caught me right away, and I was like, I need to listen to this. And it was such a good idea. So, I'm just so excited to chat with you. I think that the mission and what you do and what you care about is just all so important. And something that I have really loved about following along with you is how transparent you are and just how, you know, we throw around that word authentic now, but I feel like it just is naturally who you are, and I've loved that about you. So we're going to talk about a topic that really approaches that, and we're talking about body image today, and I can't wait to kind of hear your perspective on that. But yeah, let's talk about this, because I have seen on Instagram you talk about it, and I just think your perspective is really important, and I don't think people are talking about it, at least not in the way that you are. So can you tell me a little bit about your story with this, and what has body image looked like for you?
Yeah. So I was a dancer pretty much my whole life. I'm a fourth generation ballet dancer. So I come from a long line of unhealthy body image issues, because ballet is the place to get a body image issue, if not an eating disorder, a lot of the time. So grew up in a studio with a mom and a grandmother and a great grandmother who were all ballet dancers, and danced until I was 22 when I got married. I didn't really have the time to be in the studio all the time. And so I kind of hung up my pointe shoes and got pregnant not long after. Didn't really realize that I necessarily had body image issues. I don't think that they were as rampant as they could have been growing up in the environment that I grew up in. And I don't mean to dog on ballet. I love it. I love that culture. I love the camaraderie of it. But it's also, it can be very detrimental in the area of body image. But I was so skinny, of course. I, you know that quote that's like, I wish I was as fat as I was when I thought I was fat. Like, mm-hmm. I wish that, you know, but I'm sure I thought I was fat, but it wasn't something that was at the forefront of my mind by any means. And so I got pregnant a year after I got married and didn't really gain a ton of weight during my pregnancy. I'm barely 5'2". So I was like all baby immediately. And so after my first was born, I had like horrible postpartum anxiety and depression, debilitating. And I mean, to be expected, because I struggle with anxiety and depression anyway. But I also got diagnosed with PCOS and some thyroid issues, and pretty much just never lost that weight, and then got pregnant again, packed on another good set of pounds, and have struggled in my, you know, my youngest is 2, almost 2.5, and have struggled in that window of time to lose the weight, and have fluctuated between a really healthy mind, an actual healthy mindset, not healthy in the terms of the world where I was only eating green food and running miles and miles and miles, but actual healthily caring for my body, and the other end, which is basically what I described, where I was drinking green smoothies and training for a marathon and running my body into the ground. And my weight has fluctuated between those two extremes. And I'm sure I've also swung to the side of just eating whatever I wanted and never moving my body. That's less, I do function in extremes, but I haven't really gone that direction with it very much. So it's been a battle. It's been a journey and a hike getting to a place where I feel healthy in actual healthy terms, not in terms of 2019 America, because those are two totally different things.
Yeah. I can so relate to just that, like, postpartum anxiety. I had diagnosed postpartum anxiety and I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, you only hear about postpartum depression. And I didn't necessarily feel like depressed.
Right.
But I felt like I still didn't feel like I could function, you know? And I've personally struggled with negative body image issues all of my life for different reasons. So I think that struggle is just so prevalent for so many reasons.
I am so excited to tell you more about one of today's sponsors making the show possible. That is Warby Parker. Warby Parker was founded with a goal to create boutique quality eyewear at a revolutionary price point. Warby Parker definitely meets and exceeds their goal. They provide high quality, good looking prescription eyewear at a fraction of the price. Their glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. The lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. And I especially love Warby Parker's mission to give back. Almost 1 billion people worldwide lack access to glasses. This is crazy because glasses were invented 700 years ago. Warby Parker partners with nonprofits like Vision Spring to ensure that for every pair of glasses sold, a pair is distributed to someone in need. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I love my Warby Parker glasses. They fit my face perfectly. The quality is amazing and I honestly haven't taken them off since I got them, other than to sleep. I love that I got to try them on from my home before I decided on the frames. They just make it so easy to find the frames that you like, whether it be through their quiz, which is what I started with. You can just answer a few questions and they'll suggest glasses that are totally personalized to fit your face and style. And you can try out Warby Parker through their free at-home try-on program, which I absolutely loved using. You'll order 5 pairs of glasses and try them on for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy, it ships free, and it includes a super easy to use prepaid return shipping label. I'm also really excited because Warby Parker just introduced their new product, which is Scout. It's comfortable, breathable, affordable daily contact lenses made from super moist material that resist drying for lasting hydration all day. You can wear Scout by Warby Parker for less than $1.25 a day, and you can order a trial pack including 6 days worth of contacts for only $5, and then you'll receive $5 off your next Warby Parker order. You can order the free home try-on program or request a trial of Scout contact lenses for just $5. Visit warbyparker.com/minimalish to learn more. All right, friend, let's get back to today's episode.
Why like, why and how do you think that negative body image is affecting the everyday mom? And, like, what do you think are the repercussions that are happening in our everyday life because of this? Like, I guess, you know, leaning on your own experience, of course.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think it's ravaging the everyday mom. I think that we feel pressure from either people around us who are really fit, or whatever is being kind of shoved down our throats by media or Instagram. God, Instagram. Mm. That we're supposed to look a certain way, and that I keep coming back to this word health, because I would like to think that a lot of us are pursuing health, but we've just been sold a lie on what that looks like, and that makes me really sad, because I bought that lie for a really long time. And I think that at the end of the day is what is wrecking havoc in the everyday mom, is that we think that when we only, you know, we're eating only plants and drinking water and running as much as our schedule will allow for, and in the in-between doing yoga, and in the in-between of that picking our body apart, that we're pursuing health. And at the end of the day, God, our bodies, most of our bodies, I'm not going to make like a carte blanche statement, because I have a best friend who is a machine, and that girl can run, and she can run stadiums, but that's how she's built. She's built like an athlete, but she's healthy, and she'll eat cake at a birthday party, you know, but a lot of us just weren't built to function that way. We weren't built, you know, and we're not taught how to listen to our bodies and give our bodies what they want. And that's really been the huge shift for me, has been learning how to listen to my body and give it what it needs. And we're not doing that. We're not doing that for our mental health. We're not doing that for how much sleep we need. We're not doing that for what we need to eat or how we need to exercise. Like, we're not listening to our bodies because nobody taught us to, and no one is teaching us how to. And so we think we're pursuing health when in reality we're pursuing a lie.
Yeah, that's so good and so true. I know, like, just to kind of share my struggles, I tend to go in extremes as well. Gotten a little bit better about it. I will buy those lies too. It's like, well, there has to be one way that's going to do this for me. And then I'm like, well, what am I actually working towards? And I tell myself I'm working towards health, right? But we still, like, at least for me, I still have that image in my head of like, well, I need to lose this many pounds to be healthy.
Yeah, you're not pursuing health, you're pursuing skinniness.
Right. And it's like, why? And I don't really think that's, you know, the thing that I need in my life, but it's just what I think is ingrained in us over and over again. So it's tough. And when you say, like, you've been learning to listen to your body, I guess, like, how long have you been pursuing that, and what does that look like in the everyday?
Yeah, so my story with this in a nutshell is basically summer of last year, I ended up in adrenal failure because I was not eating enough, and I was training for a marathon, and so I was running upwards of 6, 7, 8 miles a day, and I was working like a crazy person. This was before the podcast. This is in the season where God was like, girl, I don't know why you think you can put anything else on your plate. But I literally got to a point where I couldn't see straight regularly. My body was shutting down. I got to the point where my husband, who never goes to the doctor, was like, you have to go to the doctor. Like, something is wrong.
Yeah.
And they did extensive blood panels and ended up finding out like my cortisol levels. I had like no vitamins in my body. My adrenals were shutting down. The doctor literally was like, I don't know how you're standing up right now. And so that really forced me into rest. I mean, literally her prescription was some prescriptions and you have to chill out. You have to calm down. You probably need to stop running. And so that's been a year of, okay, I don't even know how to rest. So learning how to rest and coming out of that, really intent on not repeating the cycle and desiring to learn how to do this better. And so it's been probably almost a full year journey of, okay, what does rest look like realistically? Not just taking a nap, which is rest, but what does functioning from a place of rest look like? And then once I kind of felt like I had a handle on that, it was this idea of listening to my body, which was completely foreign to me. And I didn't really, I saw a few people talking about it, but, and I, a lot of them seemed a little, woo-woo. And I'm like, you know, like, it just seemed, this seemed to be this air of mysticism around listening to your body. And I'm just a straight shooter, and that didn't speak to me. And so I ended up doing my own research and just learning about intuitive eating and cycle syncing, which changed my life. The idea that as a woman, my month is broken into four phases where I am in totally different places, energy wise and mentally and capability wise, and learning to kind of to sync my life around those things, and the way that I exercise, the idea that we're putting our bodies through the same exercise all 4 weeks of a month, when one of those weeks you have no energy. You have no, literally no energy. And I was trying to force myself through these kickboxing classes when all I wanted to do was lay down, because that was what I needed to do. And so learning to listen to my body and pursue actual holistic health versus thinness, which there's nothing wrong with being thin. I know that thin shaming is a thing. Never gonna be for me, but I know that it's a thing. But I was pursuing taking care of myself and taking care of my brain and my body. And this really nice kind of side benefit was that I lost a few pounds and my body settled into its kind of ideal weight. It's just like kind of learning to cherry pick knowledge and find what works for you, and sometimes embracing the woo-woo mysticism, listening to your body, honoring that spaceness. And really just figuring out, like I said, figuring out what works for you. For me, it's waking up in the morning, taking a check of what energy level I'm at. And if I need to kick something, then cool. Or if I need to just stretch or go for a walk, then that's cool too.
That is just such a good perspective, especially when you're talking about the cycle syncing. I've never actually even like thought about that. I mean, I've thought about it in the way where I will get myself on a kick of, okay, I'm good doing these certain workouts. And then when that time of the month comes around, I'm like, nope, I can't do it. And then I just get myself completely off track.
Then you never pick it back up.
Right.
Whereas if you're breaking your month up that way, which, like, shameless plug, I have a whole blog post on my website that makes this as simple and ingestible and practicable as possible. But when I can look at my month and know, okay, like these 4 to 5 days, like I get a break. I get to take the time that I would usually work out and I get to stretch or get back in bed. But I know that on that sixth day, my energy is going to start to rise. But I'm not going to jump right back into some super intense workout. I'm going to go for a brisk walk, or I'm going to do a light weight set. And I know when I get to like day 14, 15, 16, I'm going to want to like go after it. I want to go for a run. I want to like hit a punching bag. I want to lift heavy weights. It's a complete game changer looking at it that way, because I've done the same thing my whole life where I'm like, okay, I'm going to give my body grace because I'm like on my period, and then I just never pick it back up.
Yeah. And we'll definitely link your blog post in the show notes. Because if you have a healthy relationship and you accept your own energy levels, it makes sense that you'd be able to be like, okay, on day six, like, I'm okay, I'm ready to do, you know, whatever it is you like to do or feel like you need to do on that day, instead of having an unhealthy relationship, beating yourself up because those 4 days you felt like you couldn't do it, and or pushing through and injuring yourself, because right, that happens. Like, you see the people who, you know, it's even happened to me. It's like either some kind of mental burnout or some kind of injury or some kind of your period stops. That happened to me before my wedding because I was going too hard.
Yep.
Yeah, crazy. Okay, I feel like I'm having all these revelations, so thank you. So good. Okay, so let's talk about how do we identify our own triggers. I assume that if it's something that you've struggled with long term, then it's something that maybe you might fall back into from time to time or that you still struggle with. So in those times, I don't know, how do you bring yourself out of that?
For me, in this journey, I have had to very clearly define what is triggering for me. And by triggering, I mean what makes me want to pursue something that I don't actually want. So what influence, what person, what Instagram account, what conversation puts me in a mindset of I need to eat less and work out more so that I can look like that. Mm-hmm. That is what quote unquote triggered looks like for me. When the pursuit of health, actual health, takes a backseat to the pursuit of cultural acceptance. So it happens often. It literally happened to me the other day where somebody that is super triggering for me, and that's not her fault, but we're the same height, relatively same build, but she's like half my size. For me, it's cheesy, but it comes down to like taking that stuff to Jesus. And I think that we do ourselves a huge disservice by omitting him from our health journey and our relationship with our body. He doesn't look at us and see flesh and bones and extra pounds and thinning hair. He sees a soul that he created and that he put on this earth specifically for a reason, to serve him and to make his name great. And that nobody at your funeral is going to say, God, she was just so skinny. She was so pretty. No, like at my funeral, I want them to say that I was a force and that I pushed people to be the best versions of themselves and that I was an incredible friend and a mother that made them want to be better. I don't want somebody to stand up at my funeral and all they have to say is that I was a pretty face. And that is how I pull myself out of those triggers, is knowing what I'm pursuing is good and it is healthy and it's what's best for me. I talk to Jesus about it, and then I literally replay what I just said in my head. What do I want people to stand up at the end of the day and say in my eulogy?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, when it comes down to it, there are, you know, my husband, for one, is kind of like probably your friend you were describing earlier. He does Spartan races and places top in them, and that's his passion, you know? But he doesn't do it to a point where he feels awful, and he doesn't do it. And I think that that's the difference. When I think about, like, what triggers me, it's the fitness world in general, because I grew up with a dad who loves health and fitness, and I now have a husband who does. Funny how that happens. And it's like, it's just not, it deep down, like, I want to pursue health because I believe that we should take care of our bodies because it's the only one we have, right? Basically, it's just the fact that it's not about, I just don't love health and fitness. Like, that world is not mine. Right. And I feel like Instagram and whatever, the industry in general wants it to be for everyone because they want you to spend money on it. And that's where, for me, the issues come, because I'm like, well, you know, I, in the past, I'd follow all these accounts and I'm like, I have to unfollow them because if I want to look like that, then
I'm going to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that there's something to be said for, and I've been having this conversation with some girlfriends recently. Not everybody can do that. Certainly not naturally. Again, there's nothing wrong with that body type, but that also means that there's nothing wrong with mine. And if you look back at like Renaissance art, those girls had some curves. They were, by today's definition, chubby, but they were desirable. And that's what most women looked like, because our bodies grow human beings and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so I think that, God, I would love nothing more than to see culture redefine beauty. And you can see glimpses of it here and there, but then it's like celebrated really weirdly. and like, you know, curvy women get questions about like, how are you so confident? And that just feels rude. Like, why don't you just say like, you're fat? Why do you like yourself? And so it's just, but then at the same time, I'm not stuffing my face with junk, and I work out almost every day because it makes my brain work better. And I drink a ton of water. And so it's I don't even want to use the word balance, because I really do believe that balance is a myth, but like, it's a tightrope, right? Where it's like, I want to pursue holistic health. God, if we could just like take some of the restraints that we're living under off to fit into a mold that we were never intended to fit in the first place, I think we'd all be so much happier.
If you're still wearing your old, uncomfortable socks you got years ago, this holiday season might be the perfect time for a change, because socks are maybe one of the most practical gifts you can ask for. I want to thank one of our sponsors, Bombas. Bombas socks are soft. They're built with extra cushioning, so whether you're walking, working on your feet, or hanging out at home, you'll be comfortable. I got the lightweight no-show socks, which I love because I don't like my socks to show. But even if they did show, I have this really cute maroon color pair of socks that I wouldn't be mad if that one showed. Bombas has a lot of cute designs, and they even have some limited holiday designs. Also, have you ever noticed that annoying little toe seam that most socks have? Bombas got rid of that, so they're smooth across the top of your foot. What's even probably more important than the comfort level, did you know that socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters? They're not really donatable because we make holes in them and they get dirty. Bombas socks were created to change that. For every pair you buy, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. They have dress socks for work, performance socks for working out, merino wool socks, which are perfectly soft and warm for the winter. Like I said, socks are just one of the most practical gifts you can give. A gift that everyone will actually like and put to use. And with Bombas, not only will you be giving socks to that person on your gift list, but you'll also be giving a pair to someone who needs them. Go to bombas.com/minimalish and get 20% off any purchase during their big holiday sale, which is November 18th through December 5th. That's bombas.com/minimalish for 20% off. bombas.com/minimalish. All right, friend, let's get back to today's episode.
What helps you work towards a more positive view of yourself, like in the everyday?
I mean, for me, it's big time my girls. I have two young daughters that are 5 and 2. And I don't want them to grow up in a home where every time mom has to get dressed to go somewhere, she has a meltdown. Mm-hmm. And for a while, they did live in a home like that. And so I want, you know, if my main goal is to launch 2 confident, strong women in Christ into the world, I have to model it. I can't ask for them to not listen when boys are mean or girls are mean or people pick on them or they start to pick on themselves. I can't ask them to ignore that and stand on truth if I'm not doing it myself. And so when I do backslide or when I do feel like I'm taking up too much space or whatever, I mean, I look at them. And I think if you have sons, the same goes for you in almost like a different way, like, you know, learning, teaching them how to respect women and how to love a woman who loves herself is huge, you know? And so I think if we don't do it for ourselves, if we do it for the next generation, then that's just as good of a reason.
Yeah, that was going to be a question that popped into my head as we were talking, is about, you know, you have two daughters, and that is such a motivator for me as well, because I don't want her to, and not that I had like a negative upbringing in any way, like I'm mm-mm. so close with my family, but it just happened. It's like, it's just the world we live in. I feel like, you know, that's what every grandma says. I feel like an old person saying that, how else will she not fall into that if it's not modeled just within her own home, you know? Yep. And that's,
she's going to struggle with it no matter what, no matter if it's modeled in her own home or not, but like, praise God that she'll have someone to come home to that's fighting for health in this area.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So this conversation has just been like so helpful to me and eye-opening to me. And I know, like, we didn't even really talk about it that much before we even chatted. Of just, this is whenever I asked you just some things that you felt comfortable talking about, and body image was on that list. I was like, you know what, this is something that I know I struggle with. This is something that I know so many women struggle with. And I've even heard, but I've had moms reach out to me about the, about body image struggles, but I feel like I get those messages, and I just feel like we all are struggling so hard with this. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for being honest about this, not just here, everywhere you talk about it. What is your encouragement to the woman struggling with this? Because I think it just can be really easy to just live in this space of like, I don't like my, how I look. I don't like myself. I'm going to bounce back and forth towards being extreme one way to the other, and then just live that way for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think that the best advice I can give anybody is to, like, get ready, because it takes work. I think we want a fast fix. We want a fast answer, and nothing good ever comes quickly. And so it takes work. It takes undoing really embedded mindsets and thought patterns. It takes vocalizing them. Heck, it might even take therapy, which it is a part of every single story I have. But I mean, you might even like need to go get some professional help undoing and unraveling those lies. But I think I wish somebody would have been honest with me and said, hey, this takes work. This isn't going to just drop in your lap, and you're not going to just decide one day to change your mindset about your body, and it's going to, the switch is going to flip. And, the unfortunate thing is that there's not like a ton of resources, right? There's a ton of resources for like diets and crash workouts, but there's not a ton of resources for somebody who's just pursuing like actually taking care of listening to their body. So I would very highly suggest starting with cycle thinking, learning about the phases that your body goes through over the course of a month, and really digging in on that. Like I said, I have a blog post, and I also have a Pinterest board that's like exclusively devoted to like other people's resources about this. That has been the biggest game changer for me and in my relationship with my body. I can tell the day before I start my period, I struggle. My face gets puffy. Everything gets puffy. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. Yesterday I thought it was cute. What happened? And I have to like remind myself, you're about to start your period. I am holding every ounce of water that I have drank in the last 24 hours. And a few days like into my cycle, I'm like, oh, there's, I'm cute again. There she is. You know? So
yeah,
just learning to listen to your body and doing the work and the research and the reading and the undoing of the lies that are in your mind. That would probably be my biggest piece of advice for somebody that feels like they're drowning and don't know how to get out, or that they've just succumbed to that this is how things will be.
Yeah, that's really good. And something I kind of thought of the other day, because I talk about minimalism, one of the things I say on this podcast all the time is let's walk towards simple together. And I was just thinking about how like the real deep things in life are hard. They're not simple. Like it's not simple to undo all of these lies in our lives. Like it's actually not simple. It does take a lot of work. It could take a really long time. And that's why minimalism has helped me, because I feel like I deal with so much stuff that's not simple to deal with.
Yeah.
Like we all do, you know, anxiety, body image issues, all the things is, and the, you know, simplifying the stuff that can be simplified makes it at least, not that it makes it easier to deal with, but at least it's like, okay, now I can put my focus on this.
Yeah.
So I love that you said that and were honest about it and weren't like, here's a simple two-step process to get there. Right. Does that exist? Okay, well, awesome. So two questions I ask every guest. We'll get a little bit on a lighter note here, maybe depending on your answers. Not always, but sometimes. They're just kind of fun questions I like to ask. But the first one is, what is something that you're simplifying right now?
So I'm simplifying my whole life right now. So you actually were on my show. Yeah. I don't even know. It may have aired by now. I don't know. It hasn't aired yet when we're recording, but you recommended Erin Lochner's Chasing Slow.
Yes.
It's wrecking me in the best way. It is rocking my world. It is changing my perspective on everything. And I was like a borderline minimalist before. Like, I have had a capsule wardrobe for years and I'm constantly throwing things away. But my life still felt heavy. And so, like, when we're recording, I'm actually, like, on an Instagram sabbatical for a, like, undetermined amount of time. And I'm just really, like, taking stock and figuring out how to simplify my life. And really, it's your fault because you recommended Chasing Slow. And my husband might hate you because I can't stop sending him screenshots of, like, things in the book that I'm just like... Like, yeah. What in the world? So, everything. That's a really lengthy answer for the answer to be, what am I simplifying? Everything.
That's, I'm glad you gave the long answer, though, because I love that book as well, as you know. And I'm glad that it's my fault because, yeah. And I think the thing about that book that is so different than other minimalist words and things that are out there is just that it goes deeper. It's, you know, it's not just your stuff.
And I love my favorite part. I'm about halfway through it right now. And my favorite part is that she keeps, like, quote unquote, messing it up. Mm-hmm. So she keeps, like, getting caught up in the hustle and in the more and in the chasing. And then consistently God's like, hey, put it down. And she's like, oh, crap. And she puts it down. And she, like, puts it down for a couple months or, like, a year. And then she picks it back up. And that makes me – it makes her so relatable. That makes me feel less terrible at this. Like, it's just, like – I feel like every couple of chapters she's like, and then I launched a new website and made myself crazy. I'm like, oh, that's me. I do that, like, a couple times a year, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes, definitely cannot – like, if you need to hear it from somebody other than Desiree – you got to read Chasing Slow. Freaking game changer.
Awesome. Okay. And the second question is, what is something that you can't stop talking about right now?
What is Chasing Slow? I'm just kidding. Really, it is. I probably Schitt's Creek, which if you're not watching Schitt's Creek, like, you're missing out so big time. It's about, like, the last season is about to air in, like, a couple of months. It is the funniest thing on TV, and I'm not gonna, like, tell you anything about it because I don't want to spoil it, but I mean, that's probably what I can't stop talking about because I just love it so much.
Okay, I'm gonna need to go watch it now because I'm not currently watching it, and I feel like we've just finished so many shows that we were watching, so
a really good one to, like, add to the queue because it's, like, funny and light but also tackles, like, some real life issues. It's just, it's freaking television gold. It's okay. So good.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm definitely gonna have to go check it out. Well, thank you so much again. I am so excited for this one, and I just think It's so important. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun. Such a good talk.
I so hope that was encouraging to you, friend. I know that the part about cycle syncing, I was like, that's amazing. I never really thought of that. I only thought of how I get angry with myself that I just don't have energy around that time of the month, rather than accepting it, accepting my energy levels as normal, because it just is. It's normal to have lower energy at that time of month, and we don't have to fight ourselves. We don't have to fight our bodies. With that said, I also really love that Blake emphasizes that healthy habits are important. There is nothing wrong with creating habits and challenging yourself to take care of your body better by moving in a way that feels right to you and that feels loving to your body, by drinking more water, by eating things that nourish you. There's nothing wrong with all of that. There is something right with it. It's a good thing. We should do that. It's more so the way that we approach it. If we're approaching this goal of taking care of ourselves better with a motivation that we don't like ourselves, it just doesn't add up, as well as if we approach it from a place of love. If we learn to love our bodies as they are, and therefore feel motivated to take care of them because they are the only one we got, and we have to take care of ourselves. Part of that taking care of ourselves is loving and accepting ourselves, is finding beauty in the body that we have right now, in the way that it looks right now. I want you to feel beautiful. I want you to feel worthy. I just hope this conversation helps to start in that direction if you are currently in an opposite place with the way that you feel about yourself. You truly are so beautiful, and you are enough. And every time I say that, I am preaching to myself too, because I find it hard to believe about myself sometimes. It is work that I am continuously doing, and I just hope that it is work that you take on and continuously do as well, because you're worth it. All right, friend, that is all for today's episode. If you loved it, go ahead and screenshot what you're listening to right now, share it out on Instagram, or text it to a friend. If this encouraged you, then send it out so others can stumble upon it as well, because it is an important conversation, and I want more women to hear it. I want more women to talk about this and to think about this and to do the work it takes to love ourselves better. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I will talk to you right back here again next week, friend.
Hi there. I'm Rachel, and I'm the host of 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms, a podcast for women who want to love motherhood as much as they love their children. In each 30-minute episode, my guests and I give 3 actionable takeaways that will help you make your family life a little better each week. I'd love for you to give us a listen. Listen to 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.